Heavenly Father, as we begin a new year, many of us are perhaps looking for new beginnings. Help us to realize, Lord, that new beginnings begin in you and through you. As we seek your forgiveness and as we seek others' forgiveness and forgive others of what they have done for us, help us to hold this truth near to our hearts, not just today, Lord, but throughout the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are at the beginning of a brand new year. You know, I love new beginnings. And I thank the Lord that he offers us new beginnings all the time. For some of us, new things can be a little scary, but when we are willing to be led by the Lord, new beginnings can be a wonderful thing. So today we're going to look at new beginnings. Now, I'm not talking about the new beginnings that we are facing as a congregation, or new beginnings that we may be facing in our personal lives. Instead, I think that we should look at the foundation stone, the pillar of all new beginnings in our personal lives with ourselves and with the Lord. And that is forgiveness. Now, you may have forgotten, but before Christmas season came along, we were going through a series called You and Jesus, and how our relationship with Jesus has a lot of similarities with our relationship with people around us. Because after all, relationships are relationships. And it is a relationship with us that the Lord wants more than any other thing. We may think that the Lord will be pleased with us if we really get busy with church work or with helping others. And he will be pleased. But all of those things really mean nothing if we don't have a relationship with him first. We've looked at a number of things over the past weeks, like money, trust, and commitment. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus and with others. And today, as I said, we're going to look at forgiveness. I want to read these words that were written by Henry Nouwen. He wrote, "Forgiveness is the name of love, practiced among people who love poorly. The hard truth is that all of us love poorly. We do not even know it when what we are doing when we hurt others. So we need to forgive and be forgiven every day, every hour, unceasingly." I don't think that there is any question that there needs to be forgiveness in any relationship for it to be healthy. And not just for the relationship to be healthy, but also for the members of that relationship to be healthy. Because I firmly believe that unforgiveness causes a lot of ailments in our emotional and in our physical life. Forgiveness and unforgiveness is not just a spiritual thing. It affects every part of us. When you see someone who refuses to forgive, you also see someone who is full of resentment and bitterness and frustration. And those things will grow within that person and will manifest in many ways. A marriage where there is no forgiveness is also an unhealthy thing. At worst, it will break apart. And at best, it will just become a business partnership between two people. Two people who just agree to raise the kids, provide the rides, bring the snacks, make the money. And that's about it. Except for the hard feelings, the cold shoulders, the anger, and the frustration. In Christian counseling, when there are two people in the office, whether they are disgruntled friends or a couple that just aren't seeing eye to eye, most of the time you have two people who in some way feel that they have been ripped off. Someone robs and someone gets robbed in the relationship. And what can make it complicated is that they can both feel the same way. Both can insist that the other person stole their joy, stole their happiness, stole their freedom, stole their peace, stole their confidence, their time, their money, whatever. It's easy to solve the problem when it's just money, because the one person should give back to make it right. But what happens when it is emotional things? What happens when one feels that their peace, their joy, or their confidence has been taken by the other person? You can't do anything but to forgive. Because the other person just doesn't have what you think was taken from you. Let me explain that a little more. Usually in relationships, one partner says that the other has stolen all this stuff from them. Only the other partner can't produce it. The partner who supposedly stole all this happiness, all this peace, this joy, this confidence, just can't produce it. They just don't have it. And they probably haven't had it themselves for years. The husband may say, "She stole my peace. She took my fun. She took off with my freedom." But if she stole your peace, how come she doesn't have any? If she took all your fun, why hasn't she had fun in years? If she made off with your freedom, why does she feel like she's the one living in chains? On the other hand, the wife may say, "He stole my confidence. He took my enthusiasm. He made off with my happiness." As a counselor, I have to ask, well, where are all those things then? If he stole your confidence, why is he not confident? If he took your enthusiasm, how come he's not enthusiastic? If he made off with your happiness, what did he do? Did he take it and bury it? Because the happiness is definitely not showing up on his face. In most broken marriages and broken friendships, you are likely to have two people who both feel that they have been ripped off. Two people who have not been able to forgive the other for taking whatever they supposedly took. If we were able to love God and to love others the way that God loves us, with a perfect love, we would not need forgiveness. But we aren't capable of that because each one of us loves poorly. That's why Henry Nguyen goes on to say, "Forgiveness means that I am continually willing to forgive the other person for not being God, for not fulfilling all of my needs. I too must ask forgiveness for not being able to fulfill other people's needs. Human beings are also limited in giving that which we crave. But since we want so much and get only part of what we want, we have to keep on forgiving people for not giving us all that we want." That's pretty deep. So let's digest that a little bit, biblically. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This verse is really one of the cornerstones of Scripture. It is simple in logic, but profound in its message. So let's look at the logic. It says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that I am a part of the all. And that means that you are a part of the all. Therefore, I have sinned and you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No matter how good we may think we are, there is still sin in our lives. I don't know what I was preaching about that day, but I remember after a Sunday service, a lady walked up to me and said, "I don't consider myself a sinner. I don't go out and get drunk. I don't go out and hurt people." Well, that's wonderful. But to sin means to miss the mark. It means to miss the bullseye of God's perfect holiness. And no one can attain that level of perfection all of the time. We are to try with the help of the Holy Spirit, but we are all human. One ill-spoken word, one errant attitude, one unholy action, and we have missed the mark. And the Bible says that those who say that they are without sin, those who say that they perfectly attain God's perfect standard of holiness, aren't telling the truth. They are lying both to God and to themselves. No one can attain that level of perfection. And no one has ever attained it except for Jesus. The one who, according to Hebrews 4:15, faced all the same testings as we did, yet he did not sin. let's face it here this morning. We are not perfect. At least I'm not. That is why forgiveness is needed. Because without forgiveness, we will have to live with the consequences of sin, which will destroy us and those around us from the inside out. Forgiveness is the escape clause, which Jesus purchased for us upon the cross. And we need to use this all the time because none of us can love the way that God loves. All of us love poorly. I really think that to truly understand the message of Romans 3:23 means that we have to live a life of forgiveness, a life of forgiving, and a life of asking for forgiveness. Since all have sinned and all fall short, we can be certain that others are going to hurt us and others are going to let us down, and they will fail to meet our perceived needs. Since we are part of the all, that means that we, you, and me are also going to hurt other people and let them down and fail to meet their needs in some way. Now, I want to bring in another important piece of scripture to shed some light on this passage that we're looking at. Matthew 6, 22 to 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" This is really where we can trip over forgiveness. God's word tells us that we have all sinned and all fall short of God's standard. Hopefully we all grasp that truth. Each of us knows that we're all part of the all. So we should all understand that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard in some way, right? Also, we should know that others are also part of the all. Therefore, all others have sinned and fallen short of God's standard as well. No one, not a single person, is perfect. We know that, right? So why do we struggle with forgiveness? If most of us realize that we are imperfect and that others are imperfect, and that's why we hurt each other, shouldn't we all, based upon that understanding, just live a life of forgiveness, often asking of it of others and giving it away freely? We know that is right, but we don't always do it, do we? Why is that? It's because of what I just read to you. It's because the light within us is darkness. Instead of the light of God's Word and the light of the Holy Spirit illuminating the problem within us, we play the blame game. We just keep looking at the problem within the other person. We say we acted a certain way because they started it. They made us feel this way, so we reacted. They were in the wrong, according to us, so we had the right to react the way we did. That's what arguments are all about. Arguments are what happen when unforgiveness is thrown out. When you hear a couple fight, it's very seldom about the issue. It's usually about the other person. It's all about who's right and who's wrong. And all you get is anger and character assassination. That's what happens when you allow sin to have a foothold in your life. And it will bring destruction and death, both to you and to your relationship. How do you think God sees that? What do you think God would have us do instead? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:7 tells us. It says, "The very fact that you have disputes among yourselves shows that you have failed completely. Would it not be better for you to be wronged? Would it not be better for you just to be wronged?" In God's eyes, these arguments just show that we have failed to love and failed to forgive. He would rather us be wronged. He would rather us to be robbed than to live, have us live in anger and unforgiveness and trying to justify ourselves and letting pride ushers sin into our lives. Arguments are just two broken people shining their self-righteous light on each other's brokenness. Does Jesus do that to us? Does the light of the world highlight our brokenness? Or does he take our brokenness and heal those hurts and pains when we let him? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But many times we say, I'm not broken, you are. It's not my fault, it's your fault. I'm not the problem, you're the problem. Those are the words of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? This is really the grand problem of forgiveness. We often refuse to see our own brokenness. And our brokenness shows through not just in our refusal to seek forgiveness, but also in the way we hurtfully demand apologies of others. Apologizing and forgiving are not about who did what to who or who hurt the other first. We forgive and seek forgiveness because we know that we are broken. But you may say to me, Jonathan, I was broken even more by what they did. They violated me. They destroyed me. They ruined my life. That may all be true. But unless you forgive, you will never be free. If you never forgive, you allow what they have done to hurt you for the rest of your life. And if you never forgive, you keep God away from healing the pain that you have to endure. When you forgive somebody else, you're not setting the other person free. You're setting yourself free and giving the other person and the whole situation into the hands of Almighty God. We forgive and seek forgiveness because we understand that we first need God's forgiveness. We need His healing. And we can never give that if we refuse to forgive other people or seek their forgiveness. What if, starting today, we all assumed that we had at least some responsibility every time another person was hurting us? What if we actively started looking for things to apologize for? What if we started truly seeking forgiveness? And what would happen if we just kept our mouths shut and forgave someone silently instead of arguing with them? Can you imagine how a marriage relationship would change if both spouses were doing this? Can you imagine any relationship where this is done? It would be a relationship where there is peace and one that brings glory to God and blessings to us. So what about you and Jesus? After all, that's what this message is all about. Forgiveness in a relationship with Jesus is quite a different thing than in a relationship with another person. Trust, commitment, money, faithfulness, all those things are similar. But unforgiveness and forgiveness isn't. Why? Well, it's because Jesus isn't broken. Jesus will never hurt us. Even though we have been hurt, Jesus will walk with us through it. When it comes to you and Jesus, forgiveness is a one-way thing. Because there is only one person that's broken, and it's not him. There's only one party that is the offending party. There's only one party that owes an apology, and it isn't Jesus. You and it's me. With Jesus, we just can't play the blame game because he is perfect in every way. We can't say we did this because Jesus did that, because between you and Jesus, guess who's the broken one? The one who needs to be fixed. The one in need of a Savior. The one who has sinned and fallen short. the one who was messed up, the one who keeps falling into a habitual sin. Guess who is always the offending party? Yep, it's me. It's you. It's us that distances ourselves from Jesus. There's a saying, if you're feeling far from God, guess who's the one that moved? In other words, if something has come between you and Jesus, guess whose fault it is? So here we are, in this relationship with Jesus that is so different from our relationship with people. Because all the brokenness and all the sinfulness is truly on one side. We're always the ones in need of forgiveness. And God is always the forgiver. And that can be very hard on our human pride. But remember the words of Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If all have sinned, then all are in need of what? Forgiveness. The Christian message is that human beings are sinners. No matter how good we may think we are people who constantly fall short of God's standard for right living. All we can do is ask for forgiveness. So to realize that we are sinners is to realize that we stand in need of forgiveness. And if we truly realize that we stand in need of forgiveness, then we will not react defensively when God extends forgiveness to us. But we do it all the time by not extending to others the forgiveness that God has extended to us. To accept forgiveness is a humbling thing. But to go out and refuse to forgive others, that is a prideful thing, as we saw in our scripture reading this morning. And if we refuse to forgive other people, guess what? God will refuse to forgive us. And that is a terrible, terrible place to be, both in this life and in the life to come. So this morning, as we stand at the very beginning of a brand new year, I hope and pray that each and every one of you, me included, will live a life of forgiveness, a life that will truly make you free, a life that will draw you closer and closer to Jesus, and a life that He can use for His glory.